Hello, and welcome to another episode of Things That Make You Go, Book Review Podcast. I am your one-man book club, Jason Coleman. First of all, I know I haven't been around in a while, you know, life and stuff, but I am going to try to make a little bit more of a concerted effort here to try to get you out a podcast at least once a month, I would say. I think that's reasonable. I used to be able to crank these out more, like closer to about two times a month, but to be perfectly honest with you, I've just been busy and life gets in the way and I just haven't been super motivated, so... That's why it's been so long, but I'm not giving up on the podcast. I mean, I'm still going to try to, you know, give you guys some content. So, you know, if you want to write a nice review for me on iTunes or, you know, on Stitcher or something like that, it's very helpful. It's actually one of the things that motivates me to continue going. But okay, enough of that. Let's get to some books. So, the book that I'm going to review today is called Grit by Angela Duckworth, and I want to start off by saying that this is a very popular book, especially in sociological, child psychology, research circles. The Angela Duckworth is, I think, probably the most famous, prominent child researcher in the country at this point in time. She's done TED Talks, you know, she's released this book. And what she's so famous for is, I think it's worth taking note about some of the background of Angela Duckworth in order to give you a little bit of information to understand why she's so popular. Is basically, she wanted to, even though she had worked for something, I didn't know about this group called the McKinsey Consulting Group, which is apparently this group that doesn't necessarily specialize in anything. They just try to hire the most brilliant minds in the world. And then they work as consultants. So they dispatch a few people to some business and they say, okay, we're going to use our geniuses to figure out what's wrong with your company. And then they give them suggestions. And I mean, apparently these are very, very highly sought after jobs. And Angela Duckworth was selected for to work for this group. But apparently, I guess she grew a bit disillusioned with the company. And she actually decided to trade that career in to be a public school teacher, which I think is pretty, you know, it's interesting for me because I'm also a public school teacher. So I was curious, you know, about, you know, how her whole evolution of her career took place. And what happened was with Angela Duckworth is after she had been working as a school teacher, she had noticed that some students were succeeding where other students were falling behind. She was a math teacher, I believe. And she wanted to figure out why was it that some students were able to just push through and achieve excellence and others weren't. And at first, she said that she had a fairly traditional view that just some kids are smarter than other kids. But then she later on, she found that it wasn't necessarily an internal intelligence. It's just that there were some kids who just seemed to have this perseverance, for lack of a better word. And she actually quantifies this into a single formula where basically you take perseverance, you take attitude, you take adversity, and there's all of these factors that basically keep propelling somebody to deal with setbacks, deal with failure, deal with difficulty, and yet they still keep on plugging through. And the moniker that she gave kids who seem to have that it factor is called grit. And she did a study and she found that this trait was highly predictive, much more predictive, she said, than SAT scores or aptitude tests or IQ tests. She said that this grit mechanic is, you know, was probably going to be the strongest predictor of how successful somebody would be in any certain field. And to Duckworth's credit, I mean, she does bring up a lot of case studies. She talks about a case study of West Point College, one of the most difficult and demanding colleges, you know, probably in the world, and how there's a very high dropout rate among, I forget what the exact numbers are, of West Point cadets. And, you know, she said that the strongest predictor of which cadets would make it was this grit factor. And this probably factored into Duckworth's own personal experience, because she had said that when she was a kid, they had tested her for the GATE program, which stands for the Gifted and Talented program, which is basically a school program for kids who seem to have very high aptitude for learning. And she said she actually didn't qualify at one point in time. And she was concerned that maybe that had set a tone in her life that she just wasn't one of the quote unquote smart kids. But then she found when she had gotten to high school and college that she was able to compete on the same level as these other, you know, highly quote unquote intelligent kids. And since she wasn't part of that group, she attributed it mostly to being able to outwork and out persevere her peers. And then when she'd gotten to college, she said she really wasn't prepared for, I want to say it was neurology or neurobiology, you know, the science of the brain and stuff. And that's what she wanted to study. And she said she nearly failed her, her first neurology class, because she really wasn't prepared for it. And all of her advisors and her teachers were all encouraging her to drop out of the program. But she refused, and she said that she actually wound up graduating later on with honors. And so I think that was supposed to be the idea of how her grit and not necessarily her intelligence propelled her forward to success. So if you want to learn more about this whole concept of grit, then I do encourage you to watch her TED Talk that she gave on the subject. Because it is an interesting concept, and I'll get into how I personally feel about these things in a second. So the first thing that I want to say, though, is I have read a number of books by people who were researchers who then tried to turn their research into a book that was mostly meant for the mass public. Most of the time, these books are, I'm just going to be honest with you, most of the time, these books are not very good. And the reason why is because if you are specializing in, say, sociology, psychology, biology, whatever the case is, you aren't necessarily going to be a gifted narrative writer or skilled narrative writer, I should say. That's why people such as Malcolm Gladwell, who is not a scientist, or people like, say, Dan Pink, okay, who's not a researcher, they are very good. They typically are either journalists or they work at magazines, or both in the case of Gladwell and Pink. And what they do is they take this research that's already been done and they then present it in an appealing narrative format so that the general public can enjoy it. And I've always felt bad for these researchers, because I feel like some journalist is just going to take their work and get famous, rich and famous off of it. And the researcher is, you know, left with, holding the bag, I suppose you could say. This is certainly the case for, I think, Walter Mischel's book on the marshmallow test, which lots and lots of people have written, have used his study to prove to promote their own theories, whereas Walter Mischel, when he finally, 30 years later, decided to write a book on this study, I don't know anybody other than myself who actually read the book, and after reading the book, I can see why. It was mostly pretty dull for the most part. But this, actually, I will give Duckworth credit. I do think that this book is written more in the spirit of a Malcolm Gladwell, Amy Choa, Stephen Dubner, sort of much more accessible to the public for them to read. It's an enjoyable read. So I was appreciative of that. She's certainly one of the better narrative research writers I've seen so far. So a lot of the things that Duckworth discusses in her book, I think there wasn't really new information. A lot of the things I had already known about. So I'm not really sure how much I personally learned from this, but I will say that there are certain things, there are certain recurring themes that are popular today in research and psychology and educational research and stuff like that. And I think Duckworth does a pretty good job of touching on just about all of them. She begins with probably what I think actually has been something that has dramatically changed my thinking about the concept of improvement, and that's deliberate practice. And she talks about this guy named, I guess his name is Anders Ericsson. I guess he's the person who first came up with this concept, or at least popularized it. And she said she was having a conversation with him about why she'd been jogging, you know, for an hour or two almost every day of her life since she was a teenager, and she's not a second faster than she's ever been. And what Anders told her was, you know, it's because she wasn't engaging in deliberate practice. So if you don't know what deliberate practice is, I'll just give you a very, very quick overview. What you're doing is you are doing a hyper analysis of every aspect of all the things that, all the components that go into being successful at something. Athletics, painting, engineering, whatever the case is. And what they're saying is that in order to be successful at anything, there's probably a wide variety of sub-skills, of smaller skill sets that you're going to need to combine together to create something great. I'm only talking about painting because recently in the last few years, I've taken up acrylic painting as a hobby. And there's a lot of factors that go into this. There are, you know, color choices. There are shapes and volume. There are ways of tying the whole project together. Okay, there's a lot. So if I wanted to, say, improve at any of this, what I would have to really do, instead of just, say, painting all the time, which is what I would like to do, that you focus on certain things. There was this master artist who told his apprentice student that, you know, you're a good sketch artist, but your weakness is hands. You don't draw hands particularly well. And apparently what this student did is every day for a year, he drew 10 pairs of hands every day. Okay. I personally think that that is grinding. I don't think that that is fun, but it's probably necessary for success. If you wanted to get better at, say, basketball, for example, there's a lot of aspects to basketball. There's ball control, there's free throw shooting, there's defense. And so what you would do in deliberate practice is you would have a coach, ideally, who would be able to analyze what you're doing well and what you need to improve upon. And they would design a program to work on these mini skill sets over and over and over again until you attained a certain level of mastery, and then the exercises and practices would then change to accommodate your new skill level. And so you would always have this practice, this Kaizen, as they would say in Japan, where you're always striving for these small improvements, which cumulatively would create greater improvement over time. So, you know, Duckworth goes into this whole concept of deliberate practice. Why would deliberate practice, which I think is absolutely fascinating. I would really highly recommend you read the book Talent is Overrated, where they go into very heavy detail about the concept of deliberate practice. But she was saying that people who are willing to engage in this deliberate practice are the same people who show forms of grit, which is a way of identifying this, okay? Because the crux of her argument is, and I think that this is important as well, is that grit is not something that you are born with, okay? It's not something that's fixed, okay? It's something that you can improve upon over time. And she uses different concepts about people who were not particularly interested in a certain thing, but they kept working through it. They hired a coach. They were able to persevere. And so they were saying that there's no genetic component to that. I'm not sure. And by the way, I just want to say, I'm not sure whether I agree with that or not. I think there might be. But she was saying that, you know, anybody can, with enough perseverance or the right mindset, can develop this grit. And she also goes in another book that seems to be very popular right now with the public is this book by Carol Dweck called The Growth Mindset. And I'll be honest with you. I think her book is a bit of an oversimplification. But what she basically states in this book is that how you want to approach success really depends on where your mentality is. If you believe that your intelligence is fixed, that your athletic ability is fixed, you know, you're born with all the skills that you're ever going to have, then you're probably never going to be. You're never going to achieve a very high level of success. Whereas if you believe that you can improve and improve greatly with practice and hard work, then you're much more likely to achieve a higher level of success. Now, I think that Carol Dweck personally is a bit too quick to discount the genetic components of things. I do think that genetics play a much stronger role than what they're giving them credit for. But, you know, I will say, though, that if you are under the belief system that you cannot improve, then yeah, you're right. You're probably never going to be particularly successful at anything. But I don't personally know anybody who believes that if you try and keep practicing, you won't get better. But I'm just wondering, like, at what point do you, and I've talked about this in previous podcasts too, even about Carol Dweck, is at what point do you begin to reach a plateau? At what point do you begin to reach a ceiling? And at what point do you see your peers advancing faster than you that you just begin to make the decision that maybe that's not for you? So another thing that Angela Duckworth talks about is having purpose. And this is something that I think I have struggled with greatly. And I'm curious to know how people deal with this concept. And she's saying that, let's say people, who, and I think she uses a study about people who work at animal shelters. Apparently they tend to be very low paid. They work very heavy hours. And the reason that they're doing it is because they feel a great sense of purpose in what they're doing. I think about people who work on political campaigns. They make almost no money. You know, they work incredible hours. And the only thing that I can think of what propels them forward is this notion that they have a purpose, that they believe they are achieving something great for whatever reason. I don't, you know, me personally, I feel like that's why I've never completely thrown myself into any one particular thing, nor do most people I know. And the reason why is because I don't know if we can, if, you know, I would agree with Duckworth here. I don't know if I or most people I know, if they really connect themselves with any kind of purpose with whatever it is they're trying to do with their life. I tend to get bored pretty quickly of things. I tend to lose interest once I don't feel like I'm growing at a acceptable rate for myself anymore. And that's a reason why I've always had difficulty, I think, achieving very high levels of success, is because I haven't been able to connect purpose to things. So I don't really know how you go about doing that. I don't know if we live in a society where everybody can be working for their purposes. I mean, let's face it, we need people to work as security guards. We need people to work at McDonald's. We need people to, you know, to dispose of our garbage. So I'm not really, and I asked my wife about this too. I said, you know, not everybody can be working with purpose, right? And she had said that, well, this book is probably, because I think I read somewhere that you only need about 10% of your society to do the brain work of society, and you need about 90% of people to do the service grunt work of society. And she'd said that this book is probably targeted at that 10% and not at the 90%. I don't know. I'm curious about that. I mean, it would be nice if we lived in a world where, you know, we could all just, you know, work towards our passions and all of our basic needs were automated by something. I don't know. But I don't think that's really the world that we live in. Another concept that Angela Duckworth brings up, and she talks about this for quite a bit in her book, is she wants to give the public some idea about how you can raise your children to be gritty, okay? And she talks about a story about how she put her children in ballet lessons and how ballet was difficult. They had to show up early. It was taxing on the body. It wasn't necessarily something that her kids picked up on pretty quickly. And they improved on it. And she said that even though they didn't really become ballerinas, it still showed them, it still created a work ethic in them that, you know, propelled them in other areas. Like, they eventually took up the piano, they eventually went into academics, and so they were successful at other things. And they said that she'd like to believe that she laid that foundation for teaching them grit through ballet. Me personally, I think, again, I have a bit of an issue with this concept as well, because I don't really know what the purpose of, well, I'm only saying this because a lot of the parents that I know who have young children, they tend to have them pretty heavily scheduled. They're doing soccer, they're doing baseball, they're doing, you know, lots of different things. And I think that the parents think that their kids are getting some sort of, I don't know. I think they're becoming like well-rounded, cultured human beings. Now, from my own personal experience, I did play soccer as a kid, and mostly I just sat on the bench and watched the other kids play because I guess I wasn't very good according to the coach, and I wasn't doing a whole lot to improve myself. I played basketball again, mostly spent most of the time on the bench. I participated in theater, and I only really was able to get like these small roles. So I spent most of the practice, you know, working on my homework and watching the other actors act. So I don't really know. I mean, I'm kind of skeptical about that one too. I think it really just depends on how much participation the person is getting, and I think it really just depends on what the time is. My wife and I talk about this all the time. Like if we had children, we would want them. We wouldn't really want them to participate in a lot of activities. We would want them focusing on one particular activity and getting really good at it. Maybe at some point in time to make a living at it in the future. And I think this gets back to one of the curiosities I have about the book is that, or just the concept of grit. And I think that is, what is the goal behind whatever it is that you're doing? Is the goal just enjoyment? Because if the goal is just enjoyment, like say, for example, like with my podcast that I'm doing right now, I think my goal is I enjoy talking about these books. And so I thought I would put it out there in case anybody cares or wants to listen to it. But if my goal were to say monetize or to make a living from doing this, I would have to approach my life much differently. I would have to do a lot more advertising. I would have to make sure that, you know, my product was getting out there. I'd have to ask people for money, so on and so forth. So, if you're not doing something in order to make a living off of it, then I don't really see what the importance is of improving at it, to be honest with you. A lot of the people that Duckworth uses in her studies, she uses people like Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon. She uses Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. A lot of the people that are being used are basically, you know, as examples and anecdotes, are people who make a living off of whatever it is that they've been gritty about. So if that's what you're doing, I can definitely see the importance of being gritty. But if you know, if you just have like a regular job and you just like to have hobbies for fun, then I don't know how important grit might be in your own personal life. So that's something I don't know that I have to think about a bit more. Okay, so this podcast has now went about as long as I like to do these. I like to keep these around 20 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and end it here. There's lots and lots more. If nothing else, this book is a really great conversation starter about this concept of using perseverance and facing adversity and failure as a predictor of success, much more so than any sort of innate, inborn intelligence that you may or may not have been born with. So Angela Duckworth, I think it's definitely a fun read, definitely something that will provoke some discussion. So Grit by Angela Duckworth. Okay, that's all for now. Again, if you liked the show, you can definitely support me by giving a like or by writing a nice review for me on iTunes. That's really helpful. Knowing that I'm reaching the public is certainly something that encourages me to continue to give you this content. That's all for now. I'm not really sure which book I will be reviewing in a couple weeks, but I'm sure I'll have something for you. Until then, happy reading.